This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. I hope you're well.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
It's oil taking the headlines today, Nick, unsurprisingly, considering we've seen oil prices absolutely soar today, as much as 7% up, all because President Trump says that the Iran-United States ceasefire is over. It is off. Difficult to know what that really means, but nonetheless, oil markets have reacted to that accordingly. And we've seen the other impacts of that as well in terms of the price of metals and also futures as far as rates are concerned.
That's right. I think today's jump in oil prices definitely caught the markets by surprise, in the sense that if you had been looking at the oil price the last few months, it's been pretty much nothing but red. We've been moving lower and lower and lower, confidence building in the idea that the Strait of Hormuz ultimately would remain open. That was the big, you know, even despite the U.S. and Iran seemingly having made headway, there was still uncertainty about Israel and Iran and uncertainties between everything that's going on over there. But then you layer in the most important piece of this, which is the Strait of Hormuz. And the Strait of Hormuz now being threatened to be closed up, and that the ceasefire and all the progress that had been made in the last several weeks, or seemingly so in the eyes of the market, is now very much being challenged. With oil prices up 5% plus, depending on if you're looking at US or UK, Brent crude oil, etc. The point is, oil prices are higher, and they're sharply higher. And that definitely throws a wrench in several plans. In fact, in the last two or three weeks, the story for rate hikes had been significantly subdued. Maybe just a slightly more dovish sounding Kevin Warsh had started to make the rounds in terms of commentary. And simultaneously, a lower oil price seems to cool concerns dramatically in the market's perspective. So yes, this certainly contradicts that all's clear narrative that we had been seeing. And if we look at history with the Middle East, it has been a very never-ending kind of back and forth story of new headlines, new escalations, new renegotiations of things. It's a never-ending seeming story, and it coming back into full swing here could mean a lot of discomfort for markets, especially the market given that it is a bit out of the loop here, or seemingly being caught standing on one foot with this kind of news. So again, I think that if you look around the table in terms of all the various markets reacting to this, you do have stocks, equities globally lower. And there's a dual force here. I just want to talk briefly on indices. There is some ruckus, if you will, going on with the Asian markets currently. You have, for example, the Korean stock market was down in the previous session by over 5%. The Japanese stock market is down over 1%. And I bring these up because it's not just the United States that is the tech powerhouse any longer. You have a huge amount of memory and semiconductor trade going on with, of course, Taiwan Semi and Taiwan, but then Samsung and all these other various heavy hitting players in terms of the global AI trade that took a big, you know, hit recently. A lot of concern over that story. So there's a little bit of a dual effort here in terms of concern on the risk markets, given that you have, yes, the re-escalation potential of US-Iran, you have higher oil prices, but you simultaneously also have concerns about AI spending. And one thing I think that is worth mentioning in terms of the AI trade, because we have covered it so extensively over the last 2 years on this podcast, is a kind of subtle but important headline where Apple is trying to make the arrangements to buy memory chips from China. Now, of course, that's not a huge US interest because they want business to stay within the US. But Apple has vouched for the idea that with the spike in memory prices, and this is very important to the AI trade because, you know, part of the reason these stocks and this market itself has been so strong has been the high profit margins for these businesses due to the ability to raise prices due to excessive demand. But Apple, for example, we all, you know, or many of us use Apple products in our day-to-day lives, has had to raise prices, pass on that hike in prices against their own desire to do so due to the higher prices of memory. So they're now wanting to do business with the Chinese to find cheaper sources for the products that they need. And why does this matter so much? Well, because if competition gets stiff, and I think this is something that we can repeatedly see in history, when you have something like memory, and this is the reason I would argue that memory chips or you know, AI related stocks, they have some cyclicality to them, because there's this huge profit potential, these massive profit margins. And Nvidia had sort of the full control for a little while there, but now you can clearly see many competitors are stepping up to take advantage of those high profit opportunities. And that right there is called competition. And so competition could very well be the thing that gets memory prices to do what memory prices have historically done. They go up a lot, and then at some point, there is a huge amount of competition that brings those prices back down. One way I think of it, and this is oversimplifying things, is the way that when you go to the television section within a Walmart or Target or some, you know, retail store, the price of television has actually come, or buying a television, has come down dramatically since inception because competition got stiff. There were huge profit margins on it. So I think that that is worth mentioning in part of the reason why stocks globally, especially tech-sensitive areas of the global markets, are taking an especially big hit. You tap that in with a little bit of a uncertainty in the Middle East, and suddenly you have markets a little rocky. At the same time, just to cover some other key markets here, you briefly mentioned in the opener there, Johnny, that precious metals down sharply. Gold is down almost 2% today. Silver is down over 4%, and a vastly different story for precious metals, where gold, if we can recall, was trading at one point almost at $5,600 an ounce, spot price that is. It is now trading just above 4,000 in not even 6 months later. Very, very crazy. Actually, let me justify or clarify. Might be just about 6 months later. 6 to 7 months later, we see such a dramatic, over a $1,500 an ounce drop in the price of gold. That is nothing to scoff at. It's a big move.
So I suppose the question right now is, what has this situation done to the dollar and to the rates?
Yes. So I think that's maybe the most important subject of the day, because when we're looking at this situation, we had come into this week, I would say, with the practically a conclusion that the Strait of Hormuz was no longer an issue. That was the idea for the most part of most market participants. And so, as I mentioned a little earlier, there was a lot of narrative going around that rate hikes are going to be off the table, that yields are not going to move any higher this year, and things should be steady eddy from here. But there's a challenge that this really, really poses to markets, and that is what you mentioned there. The most important market to watch, I think, in response to this, is actually the yields market. And we do see the bonds market seeing a sharp move lower here in the US Treasury market. But also, Johnny, this is a little bit painful for Europeans too. This sharp rise in oil prices, the 10-year for the European bond market, the 10-year for the UK gilt, these things are up sharply. And what does that do to rate expectations? Well, it's not a good thing, right? Higher yields suggest, oh, this oil price is going to stay sticky, it's going to be problematic, and it's going to potentially cause inflation, something that the market certainly was not hoping for this week, because the Bank of England, we had just seen a round of central banks being like, okay, well, you know, with oil prices making this move lower, they felt a little bit more relaxed. But maybe that relaxation was getting too comfortable too soon. And if inflation is going to stick around, the yields are moving higher for the US, but most notably, they are moving much higher for European and Japanese bonds. So of course, that inverse correlation, right? Bond yields moving lower, I'm sorry, moving higher means bond prices moving lower. And that is a direct response, I would say, to the idea that oil prices are not, should not maybe be a foregone conclusion that they are going to be lower in 6 months' time. If this thing keeps going in the Middle East, that inflation compounds, it slows down things, it causes problems. And we also know, just from prior discussion, that global oil supplies, while, you know, many, many places tapped into their global oil reserves in order to suffice for the Strait of Hormuz closure, if this thing drags on, could that start to pose a bigger risk as supplies potentially run lower? So that's sort of all these questions we have to grapple with here as we watch what maybe happens next with the Strait of Hormuz.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. Speak to you then.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.